Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're so excited to have you with us today at Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, as we are every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Now join us with devotion as we hear a song from Vicky Yohe, Because of Who You Are, scripture from Dr. James Nooks, and he'll be reading Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, and I will lead us then in prayer. Thank you.
You.
Corinthians 2, 1 through 21.
According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, have no hope and without God in the world, having no hope. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he gave that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and the saints and members Amen. Of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Amen. God has blessing of the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word, for it is the word of God.
And that scripture again, Dr. Nooks. The scripture again. Would you repeat the scripture again?
Ephesians 2, 1 through 21.
Okay. I was trying to get Ephesians 1. I'm sorry.
Ephesians 2, 1 through 21, I'm sorry.
Okay. Praise God. I'll go ahead and begin to lead us in prayer as we go through today. Thank you. Lord, we come before you, and we're just asking you to watch over us and keep us today to lead God and direct this Bible study so that someone who's listening, oh God, might be able to hear our voices today, might be able to understand what it is that you have intended for this Bible study as we talk about the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Be with us and walk with us and teach us and open our hearts so that we can truly understand what it means that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, and in doing so has been active in our in the Godhead from the Old Testament to the New. And that's what we'd like to see tonight, oh God, clarity on that. Scriptures where we can refer and go back to and be strengthened as we seek to understand who you are and who we are in you. We ask these blessings now in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray, thanking you for all things. Amen. The tonight, Dr. Nuxa, thank you for being with us tonight. It looks like tonight we're starting off with just Dr. Nuxa and myself, and others are on their way, and they're going to start in a little slower. But this is the month that we are talking about God, the Holy Spirit. And we're talking about this for the entire month of May. So the first week we talk about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And this week we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And one of the things we want to begin to ask questions about and to look is to understand in the text that Dr. Nooks read as one of the texts that we're going to start off, we want to go back and look in an understanding of how the Holy Spirit is involved in the New Testament, the work of the Holy Spirit, and how God has walked us through with guidance. And we're not going through this haphazardly, but God knows exactly what he was doing, even from way back as far as before Genesis, from the foundations of the earth. So we'll look at some of those scriptures today as we begin. So Dr. Nooks, if you're on the line, just want to look back at that text. What did that text speak to you? It mostly for me, as I heard, it was a text about salvation. It was a text that clarifies that God is reconciling us through the cross, and that reconciliation brings us into relationship. And it says in verse 18, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." So the role of the Spirit is that which gives access. Is that what you heard as well, Dr. Nooks? Verse 18.
Yes, I do hear that. And Paul, of course, is speaking to the Gentiles. And of course, the Jews and the Gentiles had a hard time coming together. And even the apostles had a problem with Paul preaching to the Gentiles. But the Spirit of God breaks down the barriers between the Jews and the Gentiles. And it also breaks down the barriers between denominations, between gender, between races. And we tend, in many cases, to be children of wrath, children of the flesh. And therefore, we follow after these divisions. And the Spirit of God breaks down all those barriers. The Spirit of God is the same in all of us. I mean, we all have access to that Spirit and that guidance. And where we fall short is when we don't do as we should in following God's commands and yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God. But the Spirit is available, and the Spirit does not discriminate. So I'm glad about that today.
Amen. And as a result, where the division once took place, we now have access. You know, there was a time when we weren't able to go directly to the Lord. But because of the sacrifice that was made, we too can go directly to God with our petitions and our concerns. I wanted to look just a little bit in the text and ask a few questions about the text. You might have to put your phone on mute, Dr. Nooks. So as we are talking tonight, I wanted us to look at a few questions that we have here. I wanted to start off with, we know that the Holy Spirit is actively involved, and as we're looking at the text, The question comes up about the languages that the scripture is written, because we know that the scripture was written using three languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. But it's interesting that in each of those three languages, the word translated in English as spirit, in the word Holy Spirit, it means breath or wind. And when you look the word up in Hebrew, it means ruach. And in Aramaic, it means those Hebrew and Aramaic, it means ruach. And in it's pneuma in Greek. But in the Hebrew categories, the breath of life is what makes a human being into a living soul. So, Dr. Nix, would you read, if you could, Genesis, the second chapter, the seventh verse, Genesis 2:7. And I'll get it from the message if you'd read the other version. Genesis 2:7. You have to get off of mute.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being.
Amen. 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 The message is pretty close to that, too. It says, God formed man out of dirt from the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. The man became alive, a living soul. And when we hear in this context, we're talking about the breath of life is what makes a human being into a living soul. So when we are trying to look at the connections between breath and spirit, it's where life is given. Life, the physical life, is given to the human beings. I think Brother Eric was talking about this last week, and he was trying to talk about how the Holy Spirit is connected to humanity, and that's where life begins. And Dr. Nix, the question that I was going to ask you is when you begin the discussion, I guess, how do you feel? This is the question. Do all people depend on the Holy Spirit for their lives? Yes or no? What do you think about that? Do all people depend on the Holy Spirit for their lives?
The Holy Spirit is involved in the lives of all people, but the dependence that people have on it depends on their belief in and acceptance of the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is involved in bringing life and to humanity, spirit and believing in God and accepting the Holy Spirit gives us a new life and a new experience. I guess as we read in Ephesians that we were all born into the flesh. We were all going about living in a certain way, but when we accept Christ, then we become new creatures. And then we have a new walk with the Holy Spirit that we did not have before. Just like Christ was involved in all of creation and God was involved in all of creation, so too was the Holy Spirit. For in Genesis 1, when it says, let us make man, that's plural, that's Elohim. And we saw that the Spirit moved upon the face of the water, even in Genesis. So we had the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all involved in creation.
So what I'm asking is that simply based out of the text that we were reading, it says God, and it's referring to the Trinity, formed man out of dirt.
Yes.
from the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. So the pneuma, the in Greek, the ruach, or the spirit, is given to humanity from God. Now, that's my perspective. And there's, so to me, everybody is dependent on the spirit for life. However, not everyone interacts with the spirit in their spirituality. The spirit part of their body does not all accept the work of God. And so, but I do believe that the Holy Spirit is dependent. People are dependent, on the Holy Spirit, because that's where they get life, from the Holy Spirit. That's how we're all created, is that we all were given that through the Holy Spirit. However, we got to look at the spirituality piece. Although the Holy Spirit does not give every person on the planet spiritual life, but there are some who do receive spiritual life. And let's look at those. Let's look at John 3:16-17. And I will get John 16:7-10, because the Bible is clear that the Holy Spirit also grants spiritual life, but only to God's people. So let's look and see how that works. John 3:16-7, if you get that, Dr. Nix. And I'll get John 16:7-10.
John 3:16-what?
16-17. If you feel that you want to read a little bit ahead of that, you're more than welcome.
Okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil.
Amen.
So that shows the variation between, I think, what you were referring to as interacting with the Spirit or accepting the Spirit. Because when we accept the Spirit, then we become new creatures. And but many people do not. And when they do not, they are condemned already, as the scripture says. But those who accept Christ are saved.
Amen, amen. So let me read from the Message 1633 from the Message. I'm sorry, 16:7-10. I don't know why it's not coming up. Okay, I'm going to read 16:7-10 now. And it says, I'm going to start a little bit earlier. And this is where Jesus is talking to the disciples in John 16. I'm going to start at 4. He says, I didn't tell you this earlier because I was with you every day. But now I'm on my way to the one who sent me. But not one of you has asked, where are you going? Instead, the longer I've talked, the sadder you've become. So let me say it again, this truth. It's better for you that I leave. If I don't leave, the friend or the comforter won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. When he comes, he'll expose the error of the godless world's view of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He'll show them that their refusal to believe in me is their basic sin, that righteousness comes from above, where I am with the Father, out of their sight and control, that judgment takes place as the ruler of this godless world is brought to trial and conviction. So, the point we focus on here is, it says, it's better for you that I leave. If I don't leave, the Comforter won't come. But if I go, I send him to you. But I want to read on down after I said that judgment takes place as the ruler of this godless world to trial and conviction. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle them now. But when the friend comes, the spirit of the truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. He won't draw attention to himself, but will make sense out of what is about to happen, and indeed out of all that I have done and said. He will honor me. He will take from me and deliver it to you. Everything the Father has is also mine. That is why I've said he takes from me and delivers from you. So what he's talking about here is that the Bible is clearly saying that the Holy Spirit also not only grants spiritual life, but only to God's people, and works out with the outworking of redemption. Scripture emphasizes that the Father sends the Son, and the Son accomplishes our salvation by his life, death, and resurrection. And the Spirit applies Christ's work to God's elect. That's why he's saying, you want me to leave, because when I leave, I'm sending the Spirit, the Comforter, the Friend, to help you, to assist you, to walk with you, to talk with you, to give you the guidance that you need. And so when that happens, he's clearly letting us know that the activities of the Creator, he's showing us how unified it is, that of the work of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit are all working together to bring us to where we need to be, to fruition in our salvation. So, and that's exciting to me when I can understand that God's salvation is the work of God, the three distinguishable aspects, that of the Holy Spirit, the Father, and Jesus, the Son. So it's kind of exciting to me. That passage that you read, Dr. Nix, the Ephesian passage, it pretty much lets us know that the Lord comes to those who are dead in sin and trespass, and sin and, ooh, I can't say, trespasses, and makes us alive together with Christ. And that's what the Ephesians 2 passage was about, reminding us that it's through that relationship with Christ that we talk about all the time, that we have the opportunity to be saved. But the work is done through the Holy Spirit as it relates to humanity. And I think that's what Brother Eric was trying to talk to us about last week as we understood it. So, Dr. Nix, I think the next question I was going to bring up in the Bible study was, once we understood that the word Spirit, what is the word Spirit mean again in Holy Spirit? What does Spirit mean? Do you remember what I said? Or do you, you already know, but can you repeat that?
Spirit referred to wind, it referred to life, life-giving.
Exactly.
Wind, breath.
Yes.
And that's in the Old and New Testament.
Right, and we looked at breath as the empowerment of the Spirit. And whenever we saw that, we understood that that was the Spirit working. So when we go through the John 3, 16 through 17, and the 16 through 17, we were able to see the work that the Holy Spirit was doing in humanity. And to repeat that, that work was that we would have life and that we would be empowered and we would be directed through the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen, that we would have salvation if we accepted Christ. But that work would be, that salvation would be endowed or would be connected through the work that Christ had done on the cross. I think we read the scripture exactly in John 16, 17, 7 through 10, where it says that if Jesus did not leave, then the Holy Spirit would not be able to come and guide and direct them. The Spirit of truth, he says, will take you by the hand and guide you to all truth. Now, what's that?
And Dr. Zuzi, I think that's a that's important for our listeners to understand, is that God has a plan for salvation, and God's plan is being carried out. And sometimes we want to do things our way, but Christ said that it was convenient or necessary for him to leave, because when Christ left, then the Holy Spirit came and took on a different role and went to all believers and touched them and empowered them, and is empowering them right now, teaching them and comforting them. And we all need comfort, and we all need guidance. And it's wonderful that God understands that, and especially in dealing with our daily lives and lives as Christians, as believers, we need the comfort of God, and we need the guidance of God in order to do that in a way that would reflect God to other people.
Amen, amen. Brother Brian, how are you doing this evening? Glad you joined us.
Thank you. Glad to be a part of
it. I did have a question for you. If you feel like talking tonight, you don't have to if you don't want to. But one of the things we were talking about tonight is the role of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And so we were kind of excitedly talking about, just to bring you up to breath of what's going on, we were talking about how important the role of the Trinity is, how the Holy Spirit is the one that endows us with the gifts. The Holy Spirit is the one that quickens us, that leads God and directs us through the work that Christ had done on the cross. And to me, that was a point of excitement, of understanding that Jesus said that, you know, I have to leave so that I can send the Holy Spirit back, so that you can have that God. You can have that one to walk with you, talk with you, lead you, guide you, and direct you. So now that I kind of brought you up to where we are. So, Dr. Nix, can you, and I know you're driving, Brother Brian. So, Dr. Nix, can you answer this question? The activities of the Trinity are unified. So would you repeat again the role that the Holy Spirit plays in salvation? Would you look in Romans 8, 2 through 6 to talk about that? Take a few moments to pull up Romans 8, 2 through 6, and then kind of explain what the Word is saying occurs in Romans 8, 2 through 6.
Yeah, I've got Romans 8, 2 through 6.
And you might want to begin at 1, if that's easier.
Okay. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Nix, let me read that in the message, and then if you would explain it once I read it in the message, I'd appreciate it. With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that faithful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation, the Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hand of sin and death. God went for the jugular when he sent his own Son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son, Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. The law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. And now what the law code asked for, but we couldn't deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own effort, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. So those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but they never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Amen.
Amen. So what we find here, this is James, is really a freedom declaration to all people, that freedom is available to them and life is available to them. This summarizes so much of what the Bible message is all about, is that if we are in Christ, we're no longer condemned by the flesh. We're no longer under the law of the flesh. We no longer have to die, but we have everlasting life. It means that the law itself cannot change things. I know that many of you have been listening to news reports and how we try to legislate things around the world and in our country, try to legislate and make it so people won't shoot other people and people won't go to war and people won't steal from each other and people won't hurt each other. We try to do that in a law system that fails every time. There's somebody that can play the system. There's somebody that doesn't pay attention to the system. And that law does not really bring about spiritual freedom, because it can't. I mean, and we even have the Ten Commandments that nobody can keep, only Christ. So, I mean, if we can't keep any of the laws, if we can't keep the laws, then how can the law set us free? How can the law provide everlasting life? And this is where Christ comes in, and Christ dies for your ungodliness, my ungodliness. And instead of us taking the reward or receiving the rewards of what we've done, which would be death, Christ takes that death upon himself. And that's what he did on the cross. That's why the cross is so important. And the Holy Spirit then indwells us, and then we ought to walk in the Spirit. So our walk should be different. Our talk should be different. Our action should be different. Our thinking should be different. And we know that everybody's pulled back, and we want to do the same things we used to do. But there ought to be something inside of us when we accept Christ and we invite the Spirit of God into us that makes us act differently and think differently. And that's the walking in the Spirit that is talked about in the text here and that we want to do. And it's that walking in the Spirit that affects people, that they see that there's something different about us. So they don't just say, oh, yeah, that's another one of those church people that just want to steal money from people. No, we want to love people, and we want to reflect the image of Christ and the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us, teaching us, comforting us. And we all, like I said earlier, Amen. Need to be comforted, because we're going to get some things done to us and talked about and arrow shot at us and people stab us in the back,
Amen.
Especially if you try to do right. Lord have mercy.
Amen. And all kind of stuff begins to happen, and I'm sure our radio audience and others understand how that struggle is. One of the things that came to mind when I was listening to you talk, Dr. Nitz, is, you know, people have to understand that a lot of people who think that, you know, we're not, I'm speaking for myself. I'm not just a New Testament believer. And what I mean by that is that Christ said he came to fulfill the law, because none of us could fulfill the law. None of us could do what was required. We were not without fault. That's why Christ had to come, like you said. So we need to understand that the law itself is not what was able to save us. That's why we had to have Christ. You know, so people who focus on the law, and there are a lot of people even in our churches who are very legalistic. They don't have grace. They don't operate in grace. And we're always quick to pull the whip and snap it. And we got to remember that just like Christ is gracious to come and to take the burden of sin and carry it, we have to be gracious with other people who fall short of God's glory and who are striving to do and to become what God wants them to be. And I think a lot of times we're very harsh, we're very challenging, but you know, God even tells us that if we fall short, and as long as we have breath, we can ask for forgiveness and be given new life. That's why we go back to the cross daily, because the sins that we commit, the shortcomings that we find, and God forgives us. So we ought not be, there shouldn't be anybody who's out there who's listening to us tonight who feels that they have done something so horrible that they can't be forgiven, that they can't start over. That every day that they have a new opportunity, as long as they have breath, to start over, to trust God, to believe and let the Holy Spirit empower you to walk in a different way. And that's exactly what it's saying here. You know, we couldn't do what the law was doing, but we can embrace the Holy Spirit who now resides in you when you accept Christ as your personal Savior. And that Holy Spirit will then, as you submit and let go and release, the Holy Spirit will quicken you, strengthen you, empower you to operate the way you need to operate. And so that I think that's really important to understand. And to know that you don't have to be, you know, that there's grace at the throne. And the humans around you, they don't have any power, no heaven, no hell to put you in. So, you know, don't let them get you to give up. Don't let anybody tell you what God can or cannot do in your life. The word itself is what says that by grace, you know, we just say it. And we believe and confess with our mouth, you know, and take it from there, understanding that it's that grace that God has extended to us that gives us the opportunity, not what some person may say or not say, you know. So don't let that discourage you or deter you. So, Brother Brian, let me ask you a question. I know you encounter people every day. You know, have you heard or talked to people who struggle with being able to forgive themselves when they make a mistake? I guess you couldn't hear
James,
me.
I can talk while he may be getting off of mute, but yes, that is a major obstacle to people walking in freedom, I think, is that for some reason they feel that they have to suffer when Christ has suffered for them. And this is one thing that's beautiful about the gospel, the good news. Is that you don't have to do that anymore. I don't care what you've done on himself. And that it's not about you having to pay some price because you can't do it. You can't save yourself. And that's why in Ephesians 2, we're told that it's a gift from God. It's not something that we can boast about. People that talk about how good they are have missed the whole mark or the whole example of the Bible.
in that it's not about how good we are, but it's about how good Christ is and about how bad we
Amen.
Are and about how we can overcome some of our badness because we are a part of Christ. Not, it's not about us, but it's about Christ. And there are people
that
just do not, cannot forgive themselves. It's so hard. Yes, Dr.
Would you read John 3:1-8 and tell me what role the Holy Spirit is playing there?
Yes,
John 3:1-8.
I'll try.
Okay, let me read it. I
okay,
got it.
Please.
John 3:1-8. I'll read it. Here we go. I'm going to read it from the Message. It says, there was a man of the Pharisee sect, Nicodemus, a prominent leader among the Jews. Late one night, he visited Jesus and said, Rabbi, we all know you are a teacher straight from God. No one can do all the God pointing, God revealing acts you do if God weren't in on it. And Jesus says, you're absolutely right. Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to, the God's kingdom. Wow. He said, and let me finish reading. How can anyone, said Nicodemus, be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. What are you saying with this born from above talk? And Jesus said, you're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water, creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. When you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within its form by something you can't see and touch, the spirit, and becomes a living spirit. So don't be surprised when I tell you that you have to be born from above, out of this world, so to speak. You know well enough how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from or where it's headed next. That's the way it is with everyone born from above by the wind of God, the Spirit of God. Amen. So what I was trying to get us to see, Dr. Nux, is that the Holy Spirit acts as an agent of spiritual resurrection. The Holy Spirit acts as a way to show us and to teach us how we can be revived again through the Spirit by that relationship we accept, by being born again and accepting Christ as our Savior. So,
Amen.
You know, he was amazed that Nicodemus didn't, you know, he was a teacher of Israel. And here he is. He didn't fully understand that. He seemed like he was unaware of this rebirth that was necessary. So this, you know, and it indicates that like new covenant believers, old covenant believers were brought to faith through the work of the Spirit. And it confirms the spiritual deadness of humankind in every age apart from the Lord's work. So fallen people, to me, they're not by nature children of God. So we have to understand that if we fall short through sin, we don't know Christ. And we didn't know Christ, and it's only through our recounting, remembering, going back and understanding this in detail that we love him only because the Spirit changed our hearts. The Spirit regenerated us and produced the faith. Because regeneration preceded the faith. We had to have that change take place by being born again according to that scripture we just read, Dr. Nux. You can talk about it a little bit yourself.
Well, I think it's important for everybody that's listening in to understand that they can be born again.
And it's you don't make yourself prepared to be born again, but you come just as you are. And I think that's important for our listeners to understand.
Amen.
Is that you don't need to go and read a book or go to church for several months or go and do a whole lot of things as far as paying back folks you owe or whatnot, but just come to God just as you are right now and say, God, I give my heart to you. I confess that I've done some things wrong in my life, and I want to be new in you right now. So I want you to come in. I invite the Holy Spirit to come in to help me in this walk because I know that it's difficult. So it's important to understand that you must be born again. And a lot of people that are supposed Bible scholars, supposed been in the church for a long time, seem that they miss the message of the Spirit and the reliance upon the Spirit. I think sometimes the more we know, the more we fall away from God, like we think we can do it ourselves. And that's a danger. That's why Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me. You know, people need to come as a child and not as somebody that thinks they're equal with God, because we're not. We're never going to be. And that's the problem that we had in Genesis. And Satan tempted Adam and Eve with that, and you'll be like God. And many of us want to be like God. We want to be the boss in charge, and the God that it really is in charge actually died for us. So, I mean, the example, if we want to be like God, then we ought to be sacrificial and helping and loving. So, I mean, God has given us a tremendous message, and it's different from the message we're getting from the world.
So can you look up John 6:40, our last text? And I want to read this because it supports what you were saying. Jesus was talking, and he says, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. And they started arguing him. Somebody, and this is just the son of Joseph? Don't we know his father? Don't we know his mama? How can he say, I came down out of heaven and expect anybody to believe him? Well, Jesus said, starting in verse 43, don't bicker among yourselves over me. You are not in charge here. The Father who sent me is in charge. He draws people to me. So the work of the Spirit is showing here. He draws people to me. That's the only way you'll ever come. So it's the Spirit that actually does the drawing. And it says, only then do I do my work. Putting people together, setting them on their feet, ready for the end. This is what the prophets wrote when they said, and then they will all be personally taught by God. So I think this is really encouraging to understand that if we can just believe, if we can just trust in the work of the Spirit, that we will be able to grow, you know, when God solicits and sends us to Christ, and our hearts are then open, we can make the choice to accept him as our personal Savior. And as we do that, it's by faith, because he's changing our heart. He's making us to in a place where we're willing to accept the work, the rejuvenation, the regeneration of our hearts, so that we can accept Christ as our personal Savior, as we read in John 3:16. Go ahead, Dr. Nux. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Did I drop? Is Dr. Nux, you here? Hello? Can anybody hear me?
I'm sorry, I was on mute.
You're on mute, Dr. Nook.
I'm sorry.
I can't hear him. But you're still on mute. Can you get off of mute?
Can you hear me?
Well, we are so excited. I'd like everybody who's on the line tonight, if they're open to talk, and whoever wants to talk, to kind of just give one summation of what they understood the Holy Spirit's role to be tonight. Dr. Nuss, I can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
I hear you now.
Okay. Well, the Holy Spirit's role is very important in the New Testament and as well as the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, we have, I think, the general reaching out to all people and touching them in a different way, and also involved in the Old Testament all in creation, but in the New Testament, in the spreading of the gospel, and all people have access to God, and all people have access to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon different people in the New Old Testament, but in the New Testament, all have access if they believe in Christ and accept Christ, and then the Holy Spirit can empower them, teach them, comfort them, guide them, and help them, and it's so important for us to embrace and understand and yield to the power of the Spirit in our lives.
And Dr. Nuss, this is Dr. Susie, and Brother Brian. Brian, if you want to say something as well, you're more than welcome to share anything that you want to share about something that you picked up out of tonight's Bible study. You can let me know in just a second. But I think what was really important to me is that people fall short. And they get to a place where they don't feel like they can be forgiven. And it's the actual grace of the Holy Spirit that helps to grow them. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to send your friend back, the comforter back, so that he can lead, guide, and direct you into the growth that you need, into the truth that you're seeking. And so not to be so hard on ourselves, because the Holy Spirit is going to help us get to where we need to be and to trust God's working in our lives. Because it's by grace, through faith. It's not what we do in ourselves, but how we submit to the workings of the Holy Spirit that help us to move from where we are. Brother Brian, is there anything you wanted to say?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
I think the Holy Spirit is very important, especially upon some of my own personal travels and learning about the Word. The thing that I like about the Holy Spirit is that when the Holy Spirit enters you, you become a changed person. You become a new person, and you begin to do new things. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you, because you've been doing things a different way in your past, that just automatically changes. But because that Spirit is in you and it dwells in you, it causes you to make those changes, to make you aware of the things that you're doing and you're not doing, and it calls you to look at yourself in the mirror and work on yourself. So I'm very, very excited about the Holy Spirit, because I'm a witness to the Holy Spirit. I don't have it all together yet. But I feel the Holy Spirit is in me. I feel the Holy Spirit is waking me up to a lot of things that I have not been aware of for a lifetime. And if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't be where I am right now, because he has waken me up to a whole bunch of stuff that I was never aware of. So I'm just very thankful of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. 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 And so to our radio audience tonight, Dr. Nuss, if you'd like to close with the invitation. We just want to let you all know that the Holy Spirit, as we learned last week, was very much a part of the Old Testament and ascended on people and was able to work in their lives and empower them. Now in the New Testament, we're going to see how the Holy Spirit actually, as Brother Brian would say, lives in us, directs us, guides us, leads us, and grows us up. You know, we start off at one place, as Brother Brian said, but not to be so hard on ourselves that we give up, because that Holy Spirit will bring you to fruition. He says he begins a new work in us, and he'll bring us to fruition where we need to be. So we have to trust that. And don't be so hard on yourself. Do listen to the Holy Spirit as he will speak to you and will let you know you need to examine some things, as Brother Brian was saying. Will be your helper, will be the one to encourage you, but also will help you to know when, you know, you made a mistake. You didn't do it quite the way God wanted you to do it. But it's all about seeking God first and building that relationship and starting with that. So, Dr. Nunes, if you will close off tonight, I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight, because our role in this month is just to talk about who the Holy Spirit is, so that we have an understanding. We want to talk about him being in the Old Testament. We wanted to talk about who the Holy Spirit was in the New Testament. Next week, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit as comforter and what role he actually played as comforter and how that means and what that means. So we look forward to seeing you back next week as we talk about the Holy Spirit. Dr. Nunes, would you close and give us an invitation?
God, we thank you for the Bible study tonight. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the opportunity to study your word and to share with each other. And we are praying for those that are listening in, that will be listening in. And God, we also invite those that might be listening in to give their lives to Christ. For those that might be listening in that have not given their life to Christ and you feel that there is something moving in you that you now want to make a commitment to Christ, we invite you to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and Scripture says you shall be saved. And we invite you to understand that God is present always, but we want to invite the Holy Spirit to come into your life. So God, I give my sins over to you. I understand that you died for them, and I want you to come into me and to be present in my life. I want to be guided by the Spirit, taught by the Spirit, and God, I need your comfort tonight. So if you prayed with me that prayer, if you confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved. And God, we thank you for the Bible study tonight. We thank you for our leader, Dr. Susie. Continue to comfort her and bless her in her life. And God, bless those that would be listening in. Many problems we're facing, God, financial problems, personal problems, psychological problems, spiritual problems, difficulties in understanding each other, family problems. And God, we just want to give all those problems over to you, and help us, God, to see the light that's all around us. Help us to see the angels that are all around us to protect us. Help us, God, to not be so negative and to understand that you are there for us and with us, even through the storm. So those that are going through storms that might be listening in, help them to understand that Jesus is still in the boat with you. And God, we thank you and we need you right now. We pray for those that are sick, many amongst us, family members, close ones to us. We pray for healing in Jesus' name. We pray for deliverance in Jesus' name. We pray for strength in Jesus' name. We pray for comfort in Jesus' name. And we pray for comfort and guidance through the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for the Bible study, and we thank you for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.